News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
I'm John Gormley. Welcome, greetings. What another beautiful, warm, sunny, hot Saskatchewan day. And I'm so glad you've stopped in here. And if this is one of your vacation weeks, you are near water, you are overlooking the beauty of this province, well, I'm glad you've cut a little time out for us. It's going to be a busy one here today. You have probably heard or seen by now, and we're going to start this morning with the latest on Dawn Dumont Walker, or Dawn Marie Walker, as is her full legal name, the 48-year-old woman who is still in custody in Oregon City. It's a remarkable story. A faked death, and in a series of affidavits sworn by Homeland Security investigators and others, the story becomes a lot clearer. And in the U.S., as you know, most states actually treat their criminal investigations as fairly open. So you can access the affidavits, you can access the Crown, we would call him the Crown attorney there. It is the federal attorney for that district. The document they have prepared in Portland, arguing that she be kept in custody and not released given the seriousness, the felony aggravated identity theft charge, a minimum of 2 years imprisonment, a misdemeanor identity theft charge up to 6 months imprisonment. But if she's convicted of using a fake or phony or procured passport, that's a minimum of 2 years. So that's the Homeland Security charges. Up here in Canada, Saskatoon police confirming yesterday, Dawn Marie Walker, public mischief and parental abduction contravening a child custody order. The Americans also confirm it was her little guy Vinny's dad who flew down to Oregon City and picked him up. The police here keep referring to a legal guardian. So it was the dad, Mr. Jansen, who was able to get down there and get little Vinny back to safety. The other thing in the affidavits that paints an incredible picture, a phony consulting company that Dawn Dumont Walker had set up, two big cash transfers, over 50 grand in one of them, banking documents in the name of a friend of hers whose identity she'd assumed, the Airbnb she was staying at, the blue car she was driving, also in the name of her friend. So you know the police here, obviously, carefully investigating, did she have help? So it's almost, well, actually, I think our next guest has some insight into this. Steve Rombaum is a Brooklyn-born and raised private investigator. He has two or three shows on A&E of hunting fugitives. He runs the largest fugitive hunting company in North America, and he has been a Nazi hunter as well, tracking down a number of Nazis from the Second World War. I wanted to get a sense from him this morning what he thinks of this whole Dawn Walker case. Steve Rombaum's now based in Texas. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
We sent you some of the stories of this Dawn Dumont Walker, the abandoned truck, possessions near the water. The inference people draw is that somehow she ended up in the water and then 2 weeks later found in Oregon City. How common is this kind of incident?
You know, this case is such a stereotypical case with every component that you see in all types of missing persons cases that I'm actually going to steal it and use it for training that we provide for new investigators and new detectives. The abandoned vehicle to try to fool people into believing that there's been an abduction or a suicide, that I've seen many, many times before. The vehicles are actually often parked on bridges or things like that to convince people that the person committed suicide, leaving behind the handbag and the personal items is another ruse. I will tell you that one thing that struck me about this case, besides the fact that every single stereotypical action seems to have been involved in this case is how sharp your local police were. I don't know if it was them or the Mounties, the RCMP, but the impression that I get from reviewing what you sent me and a bunch of other stuff that I got access to is that they really weren't fooled for long. They started obtaining missing woman Dawn's cell phone records and her financial records. Now, you do that if there's been a legitimate abduction also, but the impression that I get for how early on they did it and some of the other things that they did, I think that they had a sense of what the real story was almost immediately. And I have to tell you, I was very impressed by that.
Steve Rombaum with us, longtime investigator, founder and CEO of Polarium Inc. His specialty is finding people. What kind of person typically fakes a death like this?
You know, the impression that I get about Dawn is that she was going through some type of meltdown. My understanding is the young boy that she brought with her, she actually abducted. She had no legal right to take that child anywhere. She was going through a personal situation where I think she was under a lot of pressure. She was hoping that this book was going to be a success and that she was going to win an award. And she was dividing her time with the local First Nations community. And frankly, I think she bit off more than she could chew, and she just melted down, grabbed the kid, and ran. And this is something you see again and again and again. People have this sudden impulse to essentially hit the reboot button on their life, to just get away, to get far away from everything and everyone. What's going to be really interesting is to see who facilitated all of this. There is, in my professional opinion, zero chance that she didn't have one or more co-conspirators who got her out of there. I mean, my understanding is this was a park with a river and so on and so forth. It's not like she could jump on the subway and and go on her way or call a taxi. She had to have a vehicle. She had to have the false identification, which they caught her with, which I think shows some planning and some premeditation and organization. That's going to be the next very interesting revelation, I think.
Private investigator Steve Rombaum with us in New York. We're talking case of Dawn Dumont Walker. The police yesterday confirming in custody in Oregon. The investigation, as Steve has just touched on, still continues. Did someone help her make her escape? Clearly, she set up some of the planning, as you mentioned, the documents. But if somebody's having a meltdown and just wants to hit reset, do they usually plan with the same kind of precision others might?
First of all, nobody plans with precision, thank God. The vast majority of people who fake their own death or manipulate a disappearance, fortunately, they really don't know what they're doing. I will tell you that disappearing is a full-time job. You can't ever talk to anyone you know again. You can't go anywhere you're known. You can't do what you've been doing all your life, whatever your profession is. You have to find a new one. Whatever your habits and hobbies are, you have to change them. If you've got a beloved dog or cat, you've got to leave it behind. You have a sick mom who you're wondering how she's doing. You're out of luck. It is a full-time, rough job.
Steve Rombaum, hang on for a sec. Private investigator, Brooklyn, raised originally, now in Texas, Steve Rombaum. So in these affidavits, Walker was booked, this is Dawn Dumont Walker, in the Multnomah County Detention Center, made a brief appearance before a judge yesterday. They've pushed it over to the next Monday. So there were these checklists handwritten, and they were found on her. Negative COVID test, number 2, fishing rod, number 3, phone, dead, a vehicle, bike, dye hair, cover tattoo. Park car, bracket black wig, ditch phone in water, ditch vehicle by bridge, find nearest border. It's all handwritten. It's checklists. These were found on her. Then Canadian officials, and this is according to the affidavit sworn by Clinton Lindsley of Homeland Security and filed with the court, learned that Walker had accessed a business account named Wapon Consulting and had her as the only authorized card holder. So they went into the bank account of Wapon Consulting and found two large checks written, one for $25,000 on June the 2nd, the second one on June the 5th for $52,000 to her fraudulently assumed name. And then there was a Tangerine bank card, there was a cell phone, a big pile of Canadian currency, prepaid Visa cards, all in the name of her friend, an Indian and Northern Affairs Canada certificate of Indian status, a Saskatchewan driver's license issued in the name of her friend, and vehicle registrations and the Chevy Equinox she was driving also in the fraudulently assumed name. I'm thinking that friend will be keeping their head down pretty low this next couple of days. Hey, hang on. Steve Rombaum returns on how and why did they catch Dawn Walker? Next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm John Gormley, Steve Rombaum, private investigator, a guy who searches for people for a living. So disappearing is a difficult full-time job, and most people can't handle it, Steve?
And I will tell you that this woman, and I can take some guesses, but this woman likely made some very, very big mistakes. For example, whoever picked her up and transported her out of the park. What people don't realize is there's something called ALPR. Canada's had that since the very beginning, automatic license plate readers. Every car going down the road, every car entering or leaving a park, the license plate is captured. I would bet you that whoever transported Dawn Walker out of that park, law enforcement had their license plate within hours of starting to work the case.
Even the other technological things, the whole data dump and digital world we live in, how hard would it be with facial rec software and other things to actually elude scrutiny?
I will tell you, I lecture on facial recognition. I ran a class just 3 days ago, and facial recognition is really, really good now. Especially if you know who you're looking for to begin with. Starting with a particular person and then searching for that person is a lot easier than having a surveillance photo of a robbery and trying to figure out who that robber is. They already had your driver's licenses up in Canada, in every single province, already have facial recognition derived from the photos. They already had Ms. Walker's biometric identifiers. All they had to do was start running it for border crossings, start running it for other fake ID that she may have applied for the cameras in and out of the park, assuming there were any, and there usually is these days. It's really not hard at all, and it takes almost no manpower. You just tell, you know, Big Brother where to look, and Big Brother starts trying to do photo matching, and as soon as it gets a hit, it lets you know. A big bulk of what every active detective or investigator does involves finding someone who typically doesn't want to be found, whether it's a fugitive or a hard to get a hold of witness, or an abduction case or a runaway or a case like this. And again, this case is remarkable, really, really noteworthy, for having all the components. The family not knowing what happened, the massive expense of looking for this woman, because people apparently really, you know, banded together, and you have a great community up there. My understanding is they had scuba teams, they were checking in the river, they were literally beating the bushes, helicopters, and so on and so forth. I think when this woman is brought back to Canada, she's going to have an enormous amount to apologize for, and a lot of people to apologize to.
Have you seen cases where the police and the officials try to make somebody responsible for some of those huge costs that are incurred in a case like this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, in Florida, for example, there's a famous case, at least famous in my business, famous to investigators, where a guy wanted to fake his death, so he took a boat out and he sunk the boat. He had a jet ski, so he knocked a hole in the side of the boat, jumped on the jet ski, and made it back to shore, and disappeared. And Civil Air Patrol was out, and the Coast Guard, and the total costs were well over $1 million, and they fined them the amount of the search and rescue effort. And frankly, I hope that's what they do with this woman, and I hope. I very much hope that this silly, at least silly to me, I mean, apologize if I'm upsetting someone or insulting someone, but my understanding is the money that they raised to actually search for this woman, which is somewhere between $45,000 and $60,000, they are now converting into a legal defense fund for her, which, frankly, I think is pretty rude to the people who donated to that GoFundMe with the best interests at heart.
You make a good point. This is going to be a fascinating case to play out. Steve, great meeting.
It really is.
I've heard so much about you over the years, and nice to have had the chance to chat. Take care, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Steve Rombaum joining us in New York. There is much more to talk about the Dawn Walker case and others next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.